Isaiah, top of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 19 to 21. Who is this applied to, and has it happened to Israel, or is it to the body of Christ? Let me read it to you. It's in my King James Bible here. Always wonder what this meant, and when did it happen, if it did happen. Isaiah is speaking the words, and he's speaking of himself here, I think. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Verse 19 of Isaiah 26. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, is that Israel, or is it the body of Christ? Enter thou into thy chambers, and shut the doors about you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her shame. And my question is this. If after the kingdom of Christ is here, who are the dead that are his people? And if Isaiah is speaking about come and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast, did this happen? Did this happen? Read Isaiah 26, 19, 20, and 21, and see if you can help me understand this. When did it happen, or is it going to happen, such as the rapture? It sounds like a rapture to me. It says, come, my people, enter down into thy chambers, shut the doors behind you, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be past. God's going to bring judgment on the world. But we're supposed to go to his chambers. So what is this speaking of in Isaiah 26, 19, 20, and 21? That's all I'm asking. But I agree totally with you. Christ must rule in his kingdom. But when does this happen? When Christ comes to rule, we're already with him. Is that correct? I always thought that we're not going to be here during the great tribulation. And pray ye always that you may escape these things. Who is that speaking of? Well, we're speaking of the Israel as one of the other gentlemen here. I think he's left already. He said that's speaking of Israel. Pray ye always that you may be worthy to escape these things that should come upon the whole world, and stand before the Son of Man. That's Luke 21:36, which follows Luke 21:35, which says, as a snare shall it come upon the whole world. Has that happened? What is that snare that's going to come upon the whole world? Jesus tells us to pray you always that you may be worthy. What makes us worthy to escape? What makes them worthy? If it's a Jew, what makes the Jew worthy to escape? If it's the Christian believer, we know what makes us worthy, because we're worthy in him. Oh, the works? Oh, in other words, the Jews can make themselves worthy to escape these things that's going to come upon the whole world, to escape that snare, Luke 21:36. In other words, they're going to escape it because their works, right? So the Jews will escape this thing because of their works. Their works for what? For God? Or the fact that they finally recognize that he was the Messiah. That's all I'm asking. Go ahead. It's just a conversation thing. I always wondered, why did it sound so much like the rapture? Sure does sound like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16. Sure sounds like identical to it. Go ahead, Mike. Thanks.
Sorry. Thank you, Amy, for cueing me that I didn't have my mic on. But, Coles, I hope that you're not trusting in more than anything else other than Christ having died for your sins. I hope you're not trusting in your works or continued faithfulness to get to heaven, to get out from under the condemnation that we're under. or that we start under. Isaiah, yeah, it's not to us. It's not about us. It's about Israel. It was written to Israel. It was Israel's prophets. What I stated there in text is, I don't know of anything I could say more appropriate. Get your instructions only from the only apostle that Christ sent to us Gentiles, Paul. When you go wandering, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Isaiah, the minor prophets, that's all about Israel. We're not Israel. It's not at all about us. Our information is only in Paul's epistles. I shouldn't say that, because there's information for us to understand in Genesis 1 through 11, 1 through 12, even though Israel started in Genesis. There's information before Israel started that we understand about, you know, the creation of man, the flood, the judgment on sin, the wrath of God, and things like that. But our specific instructions apart from Israel only come in Paul's epistles. And you can't find... I mean, it was a mystery. It was called a secret. Can God keep a secret? Can God... He said it was a secret. Can he write the whole Old Testament without divulging that secret? Yes. No, I believe I am saved once forever. Yes, that's great. But do you believe that you're saved once forever because you're remaining faithful because of those works that you were talking about that Israel is supposed to do? Yeah, it's in the Bible. It's about Israel, though, that they have to keep faithful, or they fall away. You know, Hebrews 3, I'm trying to think, Hebrews, I think it's verse 6, and then Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6, Hebrews 10, verse 26, James 2, 24, 19 to 24, 17 to 24, actually. Those are very true about Israel. We're not Israel, though. It's not true about us. What's true about us is what Paul says, you are saved. Ephesians 2:5. Are is present tense. Israel has never said that they are saved. They're waiting to be saved at the return of Christ. Have their sins blotted out, Acts 3:19, at the return of Christ. So Israel's hope is not the hope of the body of Christ. Amen. Coles, you wanted to speak again. Go ahead.
Yes, Mike. Please don't misunderstand me. I believe in once saved, always saved, okay? Always have things up in 40 years old. I'm 78. I think I've been it's always Christ. And Christ alone. And I believe that Paul said the gospel. Now, what the gospel is exactly. If you believe that Christ came and he died, was buried, right? Shed his blood and buried, and 3 days later he rose according to the gospel, you have eternal life. But my question wasn't to question my salvation. My question was, what does this mean and who does it mean? I'm not questioning. I'm not asking anyone to question my salvation. I'm not questioning yours because you believe the same way I do. My question was, when did this happen? Any time in time past. If this was to the Jews, when did it happen to the Jews? When were they raised out of the dead? And when did they go into the chamber? Because I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where God did that to the Jews. That's all I'm saying. I believe Paul's words, absolutely. He came to the Gentiles. We won't go through that again because I've been through that many, many times. But my question was this. And the other question was, in Isaiah, where it says, there'll be no memory of the past, nor shall it come into mind. When did that happen? You see, that's what I'm saying. Is no memory of past to the Israel? I know that we're in heaven.
do we have a memory of the past? We would remember all those people that we knew, loved ones that never believed in Christ. That would be sad, you see. Well, let me look it up. I'll get it to you because nobody, you didn't, when I mentioned it to you before, you didn't know where it was. But I have it, and I wrote it down somewhere, and I'm going to look it up, and I'll put up the verse where it said, and I think it's speaking of eternal life in heaven. There is no memory of the past, nor shall it come into mind. Does anybody in the room have any memory of that particular verse anywhere in the scriptures? I do, and I'm going to reference it. I thought maybe you might know it. I don't disagree at all, or I wouldn't come into this room. I've been coming to this room because I agree, absolutely agree. And I read the scriptures. And I know that's why I come in here, because I love the scriptures. But my question still stands. When did this happen to the Jew? When did it happen to the Jew? Isaiah 26:19. When did that happen? All right. In other words, we know that Romans, we know that Romans 14:12, we're asking different questions here. Romans 14:12 says, for we all must give an account of ourselves unto God. That's very clear, Mike, so I know that. Romans 14, verse 12. It's memorized, okay? We all must give an account of ourselves unto God. Not me for salvation. My blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses me from all sin. That's no, not tribute. No, you're wrong. I don't believe in a pre-trib. I believe in the rapture. I do believe in the rapture. And I know this room does too. But I'm saying, when did this happen? That's all my question was. And don't question me about my salvation, because I know. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind. Absolutely. It's Christ only. And Paul has the correct gospel. Go ahead, I'll leave it to you.
I don't understand calls. I don't know if you had to go to the phone or if you're still listening, but I don't understand how you can say those things. How you can say you don't believe in the tribulation, you believe in the rapture. It's not one or the other. One follows there. The trib is triggered by us being gone from here. And the only light is those seven little dim candles, churches in Asia, Jewish churches, synagogue type things. If it hasn't happened yet, that doesn't mean that God broke his promise and told the mystery back then, and that's about... Let me put this verse up there. Maybe it'll speak louder than me. 51, I believe it is. Yeah. When Paul, in Acts 19, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, it was still a mystery about the catching up. Behold, I show you a mystery. It's a secret. All right, I had to answer the phone. Yeah, I was saying I don't understand how you can say you don't believe in the tribulation. It's promised, you know. The rest of Daniel's 69, the rest of Daniel's 70 weeks, the first 69 of them all ticked off just as prophesied. I don't know how you can think that just because God interjected the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the gospel in here, that as soon as he takes us back out of here, oh, you do believe in it. Okay, because you said you didn't. Must have been a misspeaking. Okay. The tribulation, yeah. As soon as we're gone, there's nothing stopping. Christ had already stood up, remember, in Acts 7? Nothing stopping him from whooping the nations that ganged up against Israel. I do not think you understand his question. If that hasn't happened yet, it doesn't mean that God, if Isaiah 26:19-21 has not happened yet, it doesn't mean that God had broken his secret and that it's about the rapture. No, it means that it's yet to occur, yet to happen. It's prophecy. Isaiah is prophecy for Israel. We're not prophecy. We're mystery. We're in the mystery period. We are only saved by the grace of God, not by the law that Israel is under, was under, I should say, until they were fallen and then cast away at the end of Acts. They fell in Acts 7, at the end of Acts 7. They will be under the law when Christ returns, after 7 years after we're caught up, and the tribulation is over, Christ returns to end the tribulation, they will be under, they'll have the unction. They'll have the Holy Spirit within them. They'll have the law written in their hearts. The law, yeah. They'll be under the law then. For 1,000 years, a rod of iron he'll rule by. It'll be no sloppy. all right, I'm going to drop the mic here. I see some other hands. Go ahead, Coles. Calls.
I think you probably misunderstand me there, Mike. You probably have so many people come into this room that disagree with you. But I don't. I come into this room a lot because I agree totally what you're saying. I believe the scriptures. I just asked a simple question. That question was, why does Daniel, which one's he talking about? When Daniel chapter 12, he's talking about the dead, about the dead rising, and these like stars of heaven. I'm like, that's all I'm asking. Yeah, it's just something that, my volume? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. There's a little low there. Here, see if that'll help a little bit, okay? Does that help? I hope it does. Okay. So, thanks. Appreciate Graciousville. No, I'm not any way whatsoever against what you believe. I've come to this room long enough to know what you believe. And I wouldn't be in here if I didn't believe the same thing. But I'm just asking questions. Isn't that how we learn? Isn't it how we're corrected sometimes? Now, the verse that I was thinking of in the Old Testament, and I will get it for you, this is the way it says. There will be no former, there will be no memory of the past, nor shall it ever come into mind. And I think that's speaking of eternity. That's what the Bible says, and I'm sure I will find it. I wrote it down somewhere, and I've got a lot of notes because I studied this. And I even speak of Daniel here. This is so. Daniel speaks of this thing. Daniel, I realized it was a mystery, and the mystery wasn't revealed until Paul. Paul states it. I've heard it 1,000 times, but I believe it exactly. It's the mystery that we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the mystery was not known until Paul told us that. To believe the good news, the gospel, is that Christ died, was buried, laid 3 days in the grave, and rose again to life, according to the scriptures. So we know that. But I'm just saying about the thing that really gets me is, why did Isaiah the prophet say that to his own people? When did it happen? It did not happen. There's no record, because I've talked to the Jews too, and there's no record of a resurrection. There is something stated, though, where the woman says to Jesus, I know that in the general resurrection, that's the Samaritan woman, so obviously they believed in a general resurrection. Now, I'm just asking questions about this, and that. Thank you for your patience, and I love you guys. Go ahead, Deltona. You might be able to help me out on this. Thank you.
Sound check, test one. Looks like it's working. When this room closes, I'm going to open Pure Grace Believers, and we're going to continue in the Bible study that we've been listening to on the Book of Revelation calls about the future, about when this will happen, when these things will happen. It's an old recordings from Grace 101 Bible class. So far we've gotten through the first three chapters of the Book of Revelation. We've gotten through the seven churches of Asia. And we're getting ready to start in chapter 4. And so when this room closes, we'll be opening that room. This one is a little bit shorter. It's 44 minutes long. It's going to be on the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, beginning in chapter 4. And what Jim Oldboy has been doing is he has been going through verse by verse the book of Revelation, and there are literally thousands of cross-references to Old Testament prophecies. So the book of Revelation is still yet future. Many of the prophecies from the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures are still yet future, and Jim Oldboy has been putting those together. It's taken him, hundreds and hundreds of verses, hundreds and hundreds of verses that he has already, in the first three parts, the first three chapters of this Bible study on the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, he's given, I've got the verse lists created. I was creating them as we were, I was posting the verses and while we were listening to it over the past week. And there are literally, in just the first three chapters, hundreds, if not a thousand, in the first cross-references, direct cross-references back to the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. The book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, the book of Zechariah, just major prophets, minor prophets, the Matthew, the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, Christ's earthly ministry. There are literally thousands of cross-references. The revelation of Jesus Christ, all of still yet future, the time of tribulation, and the cross-references, you can't miss them. It's hand-in-glove calls. There are still many different prophecies concerning God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, that have yet to be fulfilled. God is just. God is not a liar. God has made promises to his people, the nation of Israel, and God will keep those promises. And also on tap, perhaps for tonight, if we get into it, will be another study by E.C. Moore on the topic of forgiveness. We've been going through this for the past several weeks now. It's by E.C. Moore, and it's called Remission and Forgiveness. So, we got to keep going, right, Brian? Maybe eventually, just like the other topic, we'll get on the same page. So, it's an E.C. Moore study, and it's entitled Remission and Forgiveness. And so, if we get a chance, we'll listen to that one. There's Pure Grace Believers. I'll go ahead and open the room up